Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bernstein and McKnight, we will be here until 1 o'clock, and we will be talking a lot of basketball and, frankly, whatever else you want. Tim Doyle from Stadium Sports is going to talk about the tournament with us at 10. Richard Deitch of The Athletic, media columnist at 11:40, to talk about who's watching what and why. And at some point, we are looking forward to having a conversation with Loyola Athletic Director Stephen Watson.
I mean, nice little conversation to have.
Yeah, find Loyola. Out about some conversations that may be occurring right now, because these things do not take long, and we might want to get some insight into what's going on behind the scenes there. We also have opportunities for you to win stuff. We got two chances to win $1,000 in cash when you listen for the text keyword, and we are going to qualify a listener in our Cubs season ticket giveaway presented by Old Dominion Freight Line, official freight carrier of Major League Baseball and the Cubs, and by Dykstra Home Services, piecing together your home comfort. You got to listen for Pat and Ron's cue to call to qualify. 312-644-6767 is the number at WSCR The Score. We are on Twitter at Bernstein underscore McKay. He is at C1 McKnight. I am at Dan underscore Bernstein. We are textable. You can text us at 67011. When you text, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. You can also log on to the Facebook page. Just by liking the Facebook page, you can interact with the show and the station every day. We've got a video stream at watch670thescore.com and Facebook Live. Brian Gertz directs that. The producers, Jay Zawoski and Rick Camp. And this segment is brought to you by Firestone Complete Auto Care. Firestone Complete Auto Care, keeping cars running newer, longer, whatever you drive, drive a Firestone. That was a hell of a basketball weekend.
Okay, there's a lead that I've seen written about this tournament so far in 7 or 8 different places, and it's gotten on my nerves already.
Okay.
I don't know if that's something it's something along the lines of, here's the lead. It's the line from The Dark Knight, right? This is the tournament. This is not the tournament we imagined, but it's the tournament we deserved. It's not the tournament we felt we were. It's the tournament. I don't know that there's any deserving one way or the other. I don't think we as basketball fans or tournament junkies necessarily deserved a 16-1 or Loyola making a run into the Sweet 16 or anything like that. I don't think anybody deserved necessarily to have a fist fight appropriated on them with UMBC against Kansas State. But that's what we got, and I think there was some joy in it. I think there was a little bit of hand-wringing, probably. I was thinking about you a lot watching that UMBC game. Just watching shots not go down and defense be played, but also just blood all over the floor and fists raining everywhere.
There's plenty of bad, but it's okay. Whatever has emerged now has my attention. I guess I care about what's going on in some of these games now. Just make me care a little bit.
Can I tell you what astounded me the most with the 16 over the one? It was a miracle, right? I mean,
it was a rout.
But it didn't take a miracle.
Right.
It wasn't like this heave at the last minute. It wasn't Hayward chucking one up Butler against Duke at the end of and that one going down. It was a methodical beatdown of a Virginia team that could not find offense at all.
It was great.
That's what you deserve.
For those of us who had been miserable being forced to have to pay attention to Virginia.
You
don't have to.
Those who liked it.
And Tony Bennett was wonderful after the way he handled that, the way he carried himself, the way he was as dignified as could possibly be. But that is as close as you will ever get to a system, to a rigidly coached team breaking. They could not respond.
Oh, as a collective snap?
As a collective
sure.
Philosophy and they had to abandon their poise. They kept playing as if everything was fine until it was too late. I kept imagining like Captain Lord on the Titanic. when look, we're okay.
We'll set records.
We're okay. Everything's
fine.
We're okay. We're wet. And that's really what Virginia reminded me, because they kept their poise, they kept running, and meanwhile it's like I'm screaming like it's not working,
not even a little.
It's not. You've got to. And then it was too late when all of a sudden it's like, well, we got a trap, because and you saw the glances. I love watching if the game is well directed, if the TV production,
from a TV perspective,
if the TV production's well directed, and when the whistle blows. And you saw it a little bit in the Loyola game when some of the Tennessee players, you see, they look up. Like, scoreboard and clock checks.
Right.
Who's looking up? Who's slumping their shoulders? Who's and when you saw the Virginia players, you could tell when it was creeping in were sinking.
You can find it, too, when Virginia was starting to miss shots, or even as Nevada was pushing things back and coming back from that ridiculous two games from ridiculous numbers. You can watch the team that's letting it slip a little bit, or in Virginia's case, down a lot. Mm-hmm. They'll miss shots, right? And then as they come back on defense, watch where they're looking. Sometimes they're looking to pick up ball and stop ball and get back into the defense. Other times, as things start to unravel, they're looking at teammates. They're looking at the guy who missed the shot. They're looking at themselves after they missed the shot and going, that goes in more times than not, and I really don't understand. And then they're back into the offense and trying to find themselves on defense. You saw guys question themselves at those moments, and I guess that's what the tournament – I mean, whether you like it or whether you just kind of – acquiesce to the level, whether you get to the level where this is okay with you. That there was no doubt about the entertainment value in some of those games, especially even last night.
I thought Loyola exposed a couple things, and the fact that they're in the Sweet 16 exposes some things regarding this game as well. And we will get to that on Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
That's Sister Gina, who apparently at this point on has picked against the Loyola Ramblers that are so near.
You got to hedge. You got
to
hedge your bets.
Heart. The fact that she would say, yeah, I mean, this is all great, and we could have the divine power to bring us to this point, but it's not unlimited power, I guess.
No. I mean, she's leading the pool at the nunnery, but not exactly, you know, not willing to put Loyola all the way down.
Just great. Just get V to it, regardless. The issue that I have too. This is really a me problem. You'll learn if you're.
You got one of those.
If you're new to Bernstein and McKnight and Middays, hello, we're here. This is Score Midday Show. Bernstein and McKnight. There's plenty of me problems you're going to find out, because I'm a complete neurotic. But one of them is trying to reconcile my belief in heritage elite basketball programs, and when it comes to setting the field. I've always been a guy who says, you know what, win your damn little conference tournament, whether mm-hmm. you're in the Horizon or the Sun Belt or wherever you're coming from or the Missouri Valley, win it. And I'm not, you're not, you don't get some at large bid just because you're cute. But when you see the eye test, Loyola is, for them to have won their tournament to be one of the best 68 teams, that's wrong. I didn't watch them in the regular season. I wasn't watching them play Evansville. I wasn't watching them play Indiana State and Drake and UIC and SIU, whoever else they're playing. I wasn't. I'm not going to apologize for it, because we're busy and we've got other things we got
to
watch.
You have to budget your sports
right.
time.
They find me. You know, this is now they've found me in this way. But if you're telling me that all of these experts, all of the people on this committee, couldn't look at them and say that is for sure, no matter what, one of the best 68, one of the best, and they're probably one of the best 35.
You look at, you like KenPom.com, you know, where he does all the adjusted rankings and all that kind of stuff. Loyola, adjusted offense, 63rd in the country, easily, clearly in the top 68. Defensively, 27th.
Okay.
And we talked a lot, at least I did, because this is kind of how I like to pick my mid-majors and my upsets. Play good defense and hit from distance. They shoot 40% from three. Granted, they didn't do that in the first half of their first game in the tournament and started fixing things later. We talked a little bit in transition with Molly and Hanley. I think a huge part of Loyola's game, and what will become, I think, an even better part of it, or bigger rather, they're going to go ahead and beat Nevada. It's using that inside game with Krutwig and moving things back outside. I'm not saying, you know, toss it in and let him run the opportunity, but he is a damn good passer.
Yeah.
And it lets you move. It lets you keep the possession alive just a little bit longer with his ability to move.
It's still about the threes, though.
Yeah,
you can't lose sight of that,
though. It's absolutely true.
That we fall in love with the idea of, you know, get the ball inside. That's not basketball.
No.
Basketball is still, in the NBA figured this out, and colleges figured this out, you've got to win by hitting a lot of threes.
I guess to a certain degree, unless you're like Texas A&M with those big dudes downstairs who just bound around and dominate ball games, it's more of a bailout situation than it is your first option. It is, you know, if that three, if the closeouts are hard and you've got to work a double team around and something drops, you know, down low, then your kick out is there. And Krutwig's been able to kick it out and find guys, you know, cutting through the lane too.
Did you see, and I retweeted this, but that Dan D'Antoni, who is the head coach of Marshall
yeah.
Right? It's Mike D'Antoni's brother.
Right.
And he's got an awesome description, an explanation for what I'm talking about. The old school people, pound it down, get it close to the basket.
Right, get inside, get fouled.
Get it to the big guy.
Uh-huh.
And I love Krutwig because he's fun to watch.
He's a freshman, too.
And he's like a former fat, right? I believe.
He's excised the fat.
He lost something like 30 pounds because during the game they said he was eating Oreos at night or something, or gardening at night.
You got to eat those during the day.
Is that, well.
We call him an alumni.
Oh, and he's a fat alum. That's what he gets a diploma or something.
6'9", 260.
Yeah, but he was 290, I guess. So he's doing better. But this
good
is
for him.
But regarding this idea, also I'll come back around to explain what I mean by Loyola exposing things in another regard, and explain also why, no matter what you think about basketball, it's still about three-point shots.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
The Loyola Ramblers expose the whole slotting system. They expose the selection committee because I think if you got them all in a room again and you had everybody on truth serum, they would answer, yeah, that's probably a team that deserved not only an at-large bid, but maybe a better seed.
Regardless of a conference championship.
Correct. Yeah. And they also expose bad coaches because they move the ball so well. Their interior passing, the way they're able to make sure that, and I don't know why, but you notice both Miami and Tennessee lunged at the first big to catch. How many baskets in the last 80 minutes, how many baskets has Loyola gotten because of overzealous defenders inside? We always talk about closing out on three-point shooters, out of control, being on roller skates, guys zooming out, and then you get the pump fake, and you want to run guys off those shots. You want to do that. You want to force them into a long two, or you force the feet to reset. But we've seen in the last two games, Loyola's opponents close out interior offensive players out of control, just allowing for quick little handoffs and uncontested shots. That's really cool to watch.
It's good coaching. It's good situational awareness. And we've seen, I think, in yesterday and really Saturday, too, we saw some questionable coaching moves. Some of them got back to bite those teams, whether it's leaving J.P. Makura in and having him draw a couple extra fouls that were, listen, chintzy foul, like bad.
I was going to say.
Bad foul. That was a steal, his third, and that's a steal. That's not a foul.
Some awful officiating in some of these games.
You saw Purdue.
Capricious officiating. And how about Tom Izzo with not figuring out what Jaren Jackson Jr. can do against this particular defense?
It's very confusing to me in times. Matt Painter got away with one, too. I probably sold short Purdue as a whole without Haas, right? I probably should have given them a little bit more credit. That said, you got Vincent Edwards drawing a third foul in the last, 30 seconds of the first half just because Matt Painter was trying to chase a 2-for-1, which is something we were talking about all week last week. You never see college coaches try and get the 2-for-1. There he is trying to grab it. He gets a third foul and then has to sit the next couple of minutes of the second half, comes back, makes a great defensive play on one end to kind of seal things for the Boilermakers. But it's not just those decisions that have hurt some coaches and hurt some teams. It's definitely been the officiating as well. And I feel like every tournament we're trying to split the hair on whether there's, you know, bad coaching decisions or officiating that's more onerous and burdensome on us as viewers, but it's turned out some pretty decent outcomes and some pretty decent games, and I guess you take the good with the bad and watch the second weekend.
Do I have this right that Isaac Haas, H-A-A-S.
That's right.
Okay. He's out.
Yes.
And his backup is also 7 feet.
7 foot three.
And it's Harms, H-A-A-R-M-S, right?
That's right.
Okay. So that we know is we know that we had a first in college basketball with Marshall playing against a team that was coached by a guy named Marshall.
Right.
But this has to be the first time this has ever
absolutely terrible
happened,
but that was.
In a way.
Harms
like
played
that,
really
right?
well,
yeah.
too, defensively.
Yes.
At least he was able to turn things around for them, hit a couple of big shots. He kept on going to the salad every time he'd make the. You see this?
Yeah.
Every time he's going for the comb over, making sure he's looking fresh.
Ian Eagle called him Kinnicky. I don't know how many
he's got the switchblade comb in his back pocket and working it backward.
And isn't that the guy who's later in Taxi and then was in softcore porn, I believe?
You know what? I didn't catch his later work, Dan. You'd have to fill me in on some of that.
He's very proud.
Very, very good.
Oh, what's his name again? Conaway. Jeff Conaway. Right?
Sure.
Come on.
I have not watched the softcore porn of Kinnicky.
I have not either, but I believe I believe it's Jeff Conaway.
We'll do an IMDb search during the break.
He played Kinnicky, and he was from also in Taxi, and I think his career devolved into some kind of...
Devolves? Maybe that's where he wanted it to go, Dan. Maybe that's where his true talents lie.
He was on Celebrity Rehab with Dr. Drew, and he was a mess. And now he's dead.
He's dead?
Yes, he was the worst of the patients on Celebrity Rehab.
Worst? How?
Just could not keep it together. Would relapse over and over and over again.
Well, that's bad then.
That is bad.
And is he dead of an overdose or something? Did he get hit by a bus or something? Is usually
cause of death pneumonia.
Ooh.
That's what it says.
Oh, that's usually symptomatic of a lot of other crashes
unless
and
you're
falls.
80.
Well, sure.
If you're
80, thing will
work. How old was he? He died?
Not 80.
I know that.
60.
Okay, yeah. Mm. Dying at 60 of pneumonia means your system was probably ready to shut down for something. But usually I'm declaring people dead who aren't dead. This
sure.
is the rare case for me actually finding somebody dead who I thought was alive.
Dan
so,
Bernstein
small victories.
Finds optimism in little places. You mentioned that it's all about the three. When we come back, I want to ask you about a club that may or may not be all about a three and whether or not that changes your idea of how what kind of chances they have going on.
So we'll do that. I'll give you the Dan D'Antoni explanation of what that means and then your question.
Beautiful.
All right, perfect. That's how it works. This is the Midday Show on the Score. It's Bernstein and McKnight.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Texter's having some fun with our subjects of discussion today. The 262 says, if you're on Celebrity Rehab, and you constantly relapse, aren't you the best person on that show? Instead of he was described, I believe, by Jay Zawoski as the worst person on that show.
That's right. You know, you did find the optimism in Kinnicky's post-Kinnicky career. So I suppose we should give him the benefit of the doubt. That is the best way to go.
Yeah, I guess we found the turn on the IMDb page for one, the late Jeff Conaway. This went from Purdue backup center. What's the first name?
Matt Harms.
With his hair and playing with his hair. Ian Eagle refers to him as Kinnicky. And then we end up, right that the Jeff Conaway career veered off the rails a bit.
Yeah, it looked like he kind of started to dabble in the early 90s and the 93 Alien Intruder, then you go In a Moment of Passion, LA Goddess, and Sunset Strip.
Okay, well, and then dead, because the career turn to dead was bad. And
I choose to think he chose his own rails in his career. He never went off the rails. He did what he wanted to do.
And the 630 says, I am tired of the sports coverage of the cute old person. Didn't the media cover a 100-year-old Vikings fan? Her first game was this year. The Vikings went to 4 Super Bowls. Was she there then? It's not cute. It's pandering.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, hating on old people.
Yeah. No, it's... I get you. I do think that there's something kind of condescending. It's also the way they talk to Sister Jean.
That's the
issue. Talk to her like she's a person.
A normal human.
and not a mascot.
Talk very slowly.
Right. Hello, cute old lady.
Have you seen the basketball?
Are you having fun with your basketball team? I mean, some of it is just the way it's handled, rather than just saying, hey, Sister G, how's it going?
She's been around the program forever, too, right? It's not as though... It's not like the 100-year-old Vikings fan who's just kind of been watching from her couch, which is great, don't get me wrong, but Sister Jean's been a part of that program for a very long time.
I liked the, how did you inspire the team today?
I did a couple of jumping jacks for him and four count burpees. I mean,
I did what I always do. We said a prayer. We talked about some hoops. We move on with our day. That's kind of what it was.
This is Dan D'Antoni responding to some questions here. This is the middle of the season, I believe. I want to say maybe December. Question was, you guys take a lot of threes.
That's not a question.
Did you feel like maybe there wasn't quite enough working the ball into the paint early on? His response, you're old school, aren't you? Do you watch the NBA ever? The answer, yeah. You see those top three teams? Golden State, do they work it in? My brother in Houston, biggest turnaround of the league, do they work it in? You can go get any computer and run what the best shots are, and it will tell you the post-up is the worst shot in basketball. If you want to run down and try to get it in there to shoot over somebody, then you're beating analytics. The best shot in basketball is that corner three. The next best shot in basketball is any other three. Other than free throws, which we try to do, when you get to the foul line, you score 1.5 points every time you go to the foul line of the pros. It just trickles down. It's the same thing for college kids. Now, they interrupt with a question here. Danny, were you sort of able to lull them in? He goes, I haven't finished my damn analytics story yet.
That said every analytics yep. worker yeah. ever.
Yeah. Said, if you can get to a layup and it's clean, it's not one that's highly contested, it's 1.8 points per attempt. It's 1.3 from that corner. Know what a post-up is with a guy standing over the top of you? It's 0.78. So you run your team down there, and we'll see how long you can stay with teams to play the other way. You've seen it in the NBA. The last two championships have been Cleveland and Golden State. What do? You don't see anybody post-up. They just spread that thing out and go. And this is how he closes his damn analytics story. I changed a long time ago. I coached for 15 years like a dummy. Running down there real hard so I can get it in there for the worst shot in basketball. I didn't even know what I was doing. The short version of my answer is no.
I love the comment. And secondly, all I can think of is what if a baseball manager went off on a shtick like this, went off on a run line? It would break collective brains.
Hasn't said Frank Kona had a moment.
Yeah, but nobody's leaned in as hard as he has.
Basketball coaches Nobody are different.
Basketball coaches get to say and do whatever they want, and we all love the form. Here's a team, though, that might actually stand outside those – well, a little bit outside those parameters, right?
Okay.
If you look at the South region, right, that's where Loyola gets Nevada, and that's where Kansas State gets Kentucky. You have Virginia, the one of ones being bounced out. Cincinnati absolutely collapsed against Nevada the other night. So really, if you look at the path that Kentucky's got now as a 5 seed, who John Calipari talked about it, there could be a lot of people thought maybe underseeded for that Kentucky team. They did not hit a 3 for the first time in, I think it was since 1988 in their opening game. Did not hit a 3. And they did not hit many free throws either.
Mm-hmm.
Despite that, I think we talked to Sam Vecenie of The Athletic. He really liked the way that team played in a bad game for them. They did not play all that well against Buffalo for stretches. Buffalo was able to give them a lot of trouble, but Kentucky, with their much superior size and speed, mostly length, was able to hold them at bay.
I like Kentucky. They're an imperfect, clunky team. But their rotation of bigs,
it's great,
and their athleticism, their ability to keep plays alive, they have a lot of guys who you want to watch play.
117th in the country in three-point percentage at 36%. They have shown the ability to make some and gotten hot, to be sure. But I just wonder, I think I like this Kentucky team more than, you know, you and Molly were talking about Villanova and Duke as obviously good chances to go ahead and win it. I think the odds are out too on both of those. Duke's your odds on favorite at plus 325, and Kentucky's, where did I put that? Plus 700 to win, which is third best odds at this point.
I just don't think they make enough threes. I think ultimately it's got to matter.
You might absolutely be right. I mean, that's what the numbers tell you. I still think, though, that they showed you in the first two games, granted against competition that's not going to be of the level of even Kansas State that they'll get this coming weekend, they showed you they have the ability to take those punches, to take those threes and get back and do what they do and not necessarily be thrown off by the fact that corner threes are going down, that big swings are happening in games.
They've got two NBA players for sure. Knox is an NBA player, and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has risen on my personal board because he can get wherever he wants with the ball. But the reason why you want a point guard to get wherever he wants with the ball is to collapse the defense to open it up for your three-point shooters.
And they just don't exactly do that.
And Diallo's fun, and who's the guy with the Chief Keef hair who comes off the bench? Daniels. Is that his name? Who's the guy?
Yes.
The really dark-skinned guy with the cool hair. The long and active and disruptive.
The hair is throwing me off.
He's got like the twists.
Diallo?
No, not Diallo. The really dark-skinned guy who's aggressive. And they rotate those guys in, and they run the floor, and they attack layups. So they
keep
challenge
guys out of the
everything.
Lane.
Yeah.
They're able to, yeah. I have liked them despite two rough games.
Is Gilbert? What's the guy's name? So we were
named Gabriel?
Gabriel, yes. Gabriel, yes. Thank you.
And by the way, Kevin Knox has more face than he needs.
Well, he's renting out some, I think, to others. Yeah, he's still a real player.
That would be a guy I'd be okay with. Bulls stay about where they are?
No, how does he fit with LaVine?
I don't know.
I don't know where.
I don't know if Levine's more than a six.
Who fits
man.
With Levine? Would be a question
the
there.
Bulls, yeah, the Bulls are
anyone.
We'll get to that at some point. But
a couple weeks, probably.
The tank is going bad.
It's on one track, is what that tank is. It's kind of swirling around.
Remember, we talked about before the tournament began, how rare it is to have a first time champ.
That yes,
it had been since Syracuse won.
Was
right?
that Carmelo?
Let's look at, of these 16, how many would be a first-time champ, right? Kansas State's never won. Kentucky has, so.
Yeah, they've got a couple.
Kentucky. Loyola, no. Nevada, no. Florida State, no. Gonzaga, no. Michigan, yes. Texas A&M, no. Villanova, yes. West Virginia, no. Texas Tech, no. Purdue, no. Kansas, yes. Clemson, no. And then Syracuse and Duke. So one of those is going to get knocked off.
Right.
So you've got only six of 16 have won a national championship.
So this could be a year where you buck the trend.
That's what I'm wondering. That's because one of these is going to be out, you've got three in one region. So only one of those can emerge. Only because Kansas, Syracuse, and Duke, you've got three of the teams that have won all in the Midwest. There's only one of the four in the West, that's Michigan. One of the four in the South, that's Kentucky, and one of the four in the East, it's Villanova.
As much as right? I like Purdue, too, and what they've shown without Isaac Haas, I still think they might need him and all of his A's.
Coming
all
up.
All Matt Harms' A's.
Don't get in Harms' way. Tim Doyle of Stadium Sports is going to give us his energetic take on this interesting NCAA tournament coming up right after an update. This is your new Score Midday Show, Bernstein and McKnight on WSCR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.